RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Gold Coast Magic Millions, the focus of our talk this morning with Joe McKinnon. Big week of selling on the Gold Coast, Joe, and an action-packed race day yesterday.
An extraordinary week on the Gold Coast, wasn't it, in the sales ring? Firstly, Warren, remarkable results posted right throughout the week, with Book 1 closing in on a record-breaking aggregate of over $200 million. And the averages that were right up first season size were on fire, including on the track, of course, Shalar, who stands at Arrowfield, producing yesterday's two-year-old Magic Millions Classic winner, Shakiro. His progeny were hot property during the week on the Gold Coast. And then, of course, in last night's session at the Gold Coast Sales Complex after Shakiro's stunning performance to win the two-year-old feature yesterday. Warren, he was a horse sourced by Guy Mulcaster, one of the leading bloodstock agents from New Zealand, who does a lot of work with Chris Waller, and shortly we'll be catching up with him.
And no doubt that progeny of Shalar, as you said, they continue to sell well this week, and the win of Shakiro yesterday can only help develop that, and having bloodstock of the quality of Kingman in the sale, etc. Obviously the Magic Millions team have worked very hard, and it's a big catalogue, so there's a lot of work goes into it, and it's hard to maintain that quality right through, but it seems like the selling continued at a high level right through the week. Even on day 3 and 4, they were getting horses seling for significant amounts of money, which I suppose speaks for the depth of the catalogue.
It certainly does, and we'll look forward to catching up with the Magic Millions Managing Director, Barry Bowditch, shortly on the segment. Warren, he was somewhat overwhelmed talking to media at the close of last night's session. In fact, lost for words at one stage that the results were so stunning.
Sure, he wasn't the only one lost for words by that time of the night last night, Joe.
Although the usually raucous night session wasn't quite the same last night, Warren, due to restrictions and protocols in place with COVID-19. So only essential people involved with the sale could be there last night. So it would have been a bit different to past years.
It's an interesting strategy, and it's a good strategy to have a sale following a race day. I'm sure a lot of people are pretty excited, and perhaps from that point of view, Magic Millions have been able to benefit over the years from that Saturday sale night. But it's just such a great atmosphere, and part of that carnival week at the Gold Coast that Jerry Harvey and the team behind Magic Millions have built up.
And so fortunate, weren't they, that they could stage the races and sales this year with all the havoc caused by COVID-19. Katie Page and Jerry Harvey have done a remarkable job to put this show on over many years now. But I thought yesterday's race day, despite all the challenges they had, looked quite spectacular on the Channel 7 live racing coverage. You and I, like many, were sitting at home enjoying what was a fantastic race day broadcast. And it looked like a terrific atmosphere on track.
It, and fortunately, just out of Brisbane, there was a delay with some storms hitting Ipswich and some flash flooding at some stage there. So fortunately, that type of weather, although it was a day where I think there was some cloud cover, etc., but from a ability to enjoy the day point of view, I don't think the weather had the impact that it did with the races being put back at Ipswich with that storm. So fortunately, the coast dodged that weather.
Warren, we're looking forward to talking with Guy Mulcaster this morning. Have we got him on the line yet?
We have, Joe, and I'm sure Guy's very excited to talk about the win of Shakiro in that Magic Millions two-year-old classic yesterday. Good morning, Guy.
Morning.
How are you travelling this morning, Guy, after a great day on the track with a horse that you sourced from the Magic Millions sale, a beautiful type, Shakiro. And he lived up to his looks with a great performance in the two-year-old classic.
Well, I've just been listening to you and Warren talking there, Joe. And you were saying it was only about essential. It didn't feel like essential this morning.
Yes, those that were fortunate enough to be there at the session last night at the Gold Coast, no doubt enjoying themselves off the back of what has been an absolutely extraordinary week of selling, Guy. In all your years in bloodstock, could you have envisaged the results that were posted?
No, Joe, you couldn't. It was just amazing, you know, that people kept talking about how, you know, COVID had affected these people and they hadn't gone anywhere and they hadn't been able to spend any money. Well, I don't know how many trips they could have had with these horses they could have bought, but they've obviously saved it and used it all in one go.
Now, Shakiro, you got on board the Shalaz early guy. Of course, he stands at Arrowfield Stud, a magnificent horse, a top liner from Europe. What was it about Shakiro that stood out to you as a yearling, and Shalaz in particular, getting involved with them early?
Oh, well, you're totally right in what you say there, Joe. I actually took a bit of a shine to the horse because I knew that, you know, he was such a good racehorse. And like those good horses that John Gosden trains, they're, like, they're top liners, you know. And I thought he had a great chance. We were lucky enough we picked up four or five of them last year for different clients and that sort of thing. So, you know, just happened to be that the one that shone straight away has been Shakiro.
Yes, did he show a lot right from the get-go with Waller?
Well, to be fair to him, he got broken in up in Queensland and he won his trial up here in the early trials very well. And, you know, like, to the eye, he was impressive in that, but you got to remember on the same day there was about 18 heats at Randwick after the official two-year-old trials, and, you know, like, there's nothing wrong with being keen on your horse, but I'll be completely honest, I didn't think his trial was quite as good as some of the ones at Randwick.
Oh, well, he's since gone on and done what he's done. Yesterday's performance, the highlight of his career so far. He enters the history books in being only the second horse since Capitalist to win the Group 3 Breeders' Plate and then go on to win the feature two-year-old race on the coast.
Yeah, well, yesterday, Joe, was the first time that he'd sat off the pace. Like, in all his other runs, he'd been basically the leader. And, you know, and he'd run very well, but I thought he took his performances to a new level yesterday, being able to sit behind a couple and showed a great turn of foot when he opened up on the straight.
And the barrier ended up proving somewhat of a blessing, and having Hugh Bowman on board doesn't hurt either. Steering well clear of that early scrimmaging in the race, which is typical of this race.
Well, the horse has got such great gate speed, Joe. You know, like in the four starts he's had, he's been first out every time. And even yesterday, he jumped out really quickly. And, you know, in typical Hugh Bowman style, he just let him, you know, just coast along there for a couple of hundred metres and got the perfect run.
Mm. To the pedigree of this horse, Guy, which no doubt you very strongly considered aside from his good looks and the sire, but the mare he's out of has been a great producer, hasn't she, Fiammettino?
You turn the page back about 12 months and 1 week, Joe, and she's had four foals for no winners. So in the last 12 months, she's actually, the page has improved a hell of a lot.
Mm. And Shalaz himself, well, his early success has been reflected in the sales ring, where his progeny this week sold up to $1.1 million.
Yeah, well, you know, like when you've got a horse that's left an early runner and people come to the Magic Millions to buy early runners, it's the, you know, that's a recipe for making them sell well.
And he had a half go through the ring this week?
Yeah, so a nice fill. I think she made $350,000. I didn't buy her, but be wishing the people that bought her all the success, and they've just improved the value a fair bit in the last 24 hours.
A great day on the track for you yesterday with Shakiro winning, but also Fernrigg Farm, who produced the horse at the Magic Millions sale. Tell us about the relationship you have with them.
But, you know, they're a young couple just starting out, and they do a great job with their horses. We saw the horses on the farm at Scone there last year before we came up to the Magic Millions. I'll be completely honest, I didn't have Shakiro wasn't one that I was running back to see again straight away. But as the sale went on and my inspections got further, it was a horse that grew on me. So it's all's well that ends well, Joe.
Yeah, it certainly is. And your relationship with Chris Waller has been enormously successful over a pretty long period of time now.
Well, Joe, you know, you have a look at a horse like Shakira. He won the Breeders' Plate. Everybody thought he was going to come up and just win the Magic Millions. He went to Eagle Farm, hated the track, just beat the ambulance home, got out 20 to 1 for the Magic Millions, and Chris Waller had to weave his magic to get him back on the job.
Chris's success on the track goes without saying, and his systems and processes help ensure that. What is it like from a bloodstock agent point of view working with someone the calibre of Chris?
Well, you know, like it's a huge thrill for me because like he's happy to ring me after a horse runs, you know, and says, you know, that was great, but what do you think? What are we going to do going forward and that? And I put my 2 cents worth in, and he works it out with his team in Sydney or Melbourne or wherever it might be. And, you know, it all, they come up with a good plan, and most of the time it works.
So, Guy, a busy week on the Gold Coast in the sales ring. Hard to get the good ones, always is, but it was especially this week. How did you end up faring? What have you come away with?
We've got a good number of horses, Joe, but, you know, we act for a few different clients and that sort of thing. So there'll be probably the balance of about 20 horses getting broken in this week that I was involved in. And we turn the page now, we look at Karaka next week.
Yes, not much rest for the wicked. Guy, congratulations on the success and the role you played yesterday in the win of Shakira. Do you think you'll be able to get any more Shalars now they're so hot?
I picked one up on Friday, Joe. Absolute beautiful horse. He was actually out of a half-sister to a horse we bought for Good Climb of the Stables Delectation. So he was like 6.49 and I'm really happy with him. And he's going to race in the same colours as Shakira, so fingers crossed that lightning can strike twice.
All right, enjoy the rest of your day, Guy, up there on the Gold Coast in that beautiful sunny weather.
Thanks very much, Joe, and thanks for the call, and have a good Sunday to all your listeners.
Great to have Guy on with us this morning, Warren, because I'm tipping there's been a few have late nights last night.
And I'm not surprised that progeny of Shalar can race in the same colours. I don't think it would have been hard to twist Neville Morgan's arm and ask him to race the progeny of Shalar after that win of Shakira yesterday. He might have even been keen enough before that. And probably goes understated to some extent. You become to expect it from Chris Waller, but would have been easy to pull the pin on the preparation after that disappointing performance at Eagle Farm to then map out a plan to head to the Gold Coast, run the week before, and then back up into the Magic Millions. It just goes to show the artistry that is Chris Waller as a trainer.
He's a very clever trainer, isn't he? We're starting to run out of superlatives for some of the things he can do with horses, especially the challenge of turning them around, the horses that are underperforming on the track for various different reasons, but Chris usually finds the key to them.
He does, and a gentleman that's found the key to Magic Millions Week since taking over the stewardship of the program is Barry Bowditch. Obviously a long-time involvement in the Magic Millions, but under tough times with COVID in particular this year, it has been a remarkable week, Joe.
It certainly has, and I'm pleased to say Barry has found some time to talk to us on RSN this morning from the Gold Coast, the Magic Millions Managing Director. Good morning, Barry, and many congratulations to you and the team for what's been an amazing week of sales and racing on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, good morning, Joe. Good morning, Warren. I'm speechless, to be honest. It's been remarkable, and if you had said a week ago or 2 weeks ago where we'd be at, I was concerned we weren't even going to get a live sale off the ground. So it's been something very special.
And not without amazing strategy and planning behind it, Barry. The goalposts moved so many times in the lead up to the sale for different reasons, all related to the COVID-19 pandemic. But you did take a gamble in that you set a new benchmark of figures, but you decided to put together a bigger catalogue this year, and it seems to have paid off.
Absolutely. Well, when we were doing the inspections back in August, we were like, there's too many horses that want to come our way that are up to the standard we try and set for ourselves. So it's like we either start knocking them back for no particular reason, then we can't fit them, or we make room and make it work. And I'm pleased we did that. I wasn't pleased a week ago that we did. So I was pretty scared that we'd made the wrong decision. But when you got less buyers, no internationals, Sydney siders weren't coming, and the trepidation of borders closing, so people sort of sat the back away. I was like, oh, this was a pretty poor decision. But everything's turned out really, really well, and it's just been a remarkable week from start to finish.
The aggregate late last night was sitting at just under 200 million. Where did it end up finishing?
197 million, an average of 253,000, a clearance rate of 88%. So we've never obviously sold as many Book One horses. We've never averaged what we have. So it's a huge growth. I think it's up from about 170 million last year. So, you know, it's a huge jump. It's a $27 million jump from last year's Book One. So, and we've still got Book Two to come, and it's got increased numbers as well.
There were $1 million-plus horses galore in Book One this week at the Magic Millions, Barry, and last night the session seeing a $1 million I Am Invincible colt selling.
Yeah, exactly. I was thrilled for Kiora Stud last night. You know, they had $2 million I Am Invincibles at the sale, and they've supported this sale very heavily this year. So it was great to see them get good results. But what was, you know, $12 million horses is up on last year. They got 11 last year, and the depth all the way through. There was a craving to buy horses, anything from the small numbers, 30, 40, 50 grand, all through to the big numbers. So the depth in market, and I just think the indicators for the industry here in Australia are very, very strong. I think there's a lot of people engaged in racing right now, and they want to be a part of it, whether it's through syndication all the way through to, you know, the colt fund. So, you know, it's a really good start for the yearling sales series, and we're pleased to be able to set a strong benchmark.
Tony Fung and Phoenix Thoroughbreds ended up the leading buyers for Book One.
That was sensational. They came with a plan. They wanted to buy some of those great colts. And I guess off the back of the likes of Farn and Anders, Prague, you know, Dubious, like, they put some great colts out of the sale in recent years and done very well, obviously, either standing them at stud or selling them. So, you know, they've got a lot of confidence in what we're doing here. And we had some really, really nice Not a Singled Out colts that they followed in. They bought a big number of those.
And I tell you what, Kieran Maher and David Eustace had a red-hot crack this week. They were right up there as the leading buyers, spending just over $11 million on 37 yearlings.
Well, like one horse trainer, I don't know whether that's ever happened before, 37 yearlings, one yearling sale, but he stepped in, he had a lot of confidence in the horses on the ground, and I hope he's got enough boxes for all these yearlings. That was a sensational effort.
If he hasn't got them, I'm sure he'll find them, Barry. And the vendor honours, not surprisingly, went to Arrowfield Stud again. They sold 45 yearlings in an average of just over $325,000 and a total of $14.6 million.
Yeah, exactly. John Massaro is a fantastic supporter, and to have 100% clearance rate, you know, strong average and to gross the most, not unexpected. He's got a very, very strong roster of stallions, having, you know, Redoubt's Choice, Not a Singled Out, you know, through to Sundial, Stitzel, and now Shalar. So he's having a great run on the racetrack, and you know, when you bring quality horses, so they're sought after, and he's a great salesman.
And the leading sire was I Am Invincible, 44 of his lots selling for an average of just over $544,000.
Yeah, Yarraman Park again. They've got he's been a great sire, hasn't he? Like where he's come from, where he started his career, and he throws such a sensational type, and they do well on the racetrack, and so every year we come up here and there's many vinnies that are very keenly sought after.
And buyers were rallying for the first season size also, and those honours again going to a Yarraman Park stallion in Hellbent. Everyone was keen on them leading up to the sale, and that was vindicated in how they sold in the ring.
Yeah, it was sensational that they got behind Hellbent. And, I think it's another strong crop of first season size. Even there was all the way through, we had Pariah and Merchant Navy and Russian Revolution through to like Invader, Almanzor. There's a lot of sides that had great results, but Hellbent, he throws just like his father, an outstanding individual, and off the service where he stood at to get the results he did is a sensational start to his career.
And on the racetrack yesterday, Barry, as we wrap up, we caught up with Guy Mulcaster at the top of the segment, who is involved in the purchase of the two-year-old classic winner, Shakiro. A great performance by the young horse. What was the racing highlight for you?
I think, obviously, I was thrilled that David Devine's been trying to win the two-year-old race for 30 years. So he's been a great supporter of Magic Millions for a very long time. And he was beaming at the race course yesterday. So that was one of the great results. And I thought AIM winning the three-year-old Newgate and China Horse Club are great supporters of Magic Millions. They sell a lot of horses here. They buy a lot of horses here. And to see one of our great supporters win a $2 million race here was a real thrill.
Barry, you've been at the helm for a number of years now at Magic Millions. How does this year's sale and race days compare to past? Would this go down as one of the highlight years for you, would you say?
Oh, absolutely. Like, the team at Magic Millions have, you know, they've zigged and zagged over the last 6 months and really done an outstanding job and gone above and beyond. So I'm really proud of those guys. And obviously, this is the highest grossing yearling sale ever in the Southern Hemisphere. Last year was at that point, and this one's gone above it again. So, you know, we've never had a great better horse sale than this, and we're just truly proud of ourselves and thankful to our vendors for supporting the sale like they've never done before.
This outcome says a lot about the health and vitality of the Australian racing and breeding industry, doesn't it, Barry?
Absolutely. As I said just before, I think racing is in a great place. I think there's a lot of money in the economy at the moment. The buyers out there, the investors out there, they can't sit on their money because they can't make any money in the bank with their money. So, and also, they don't know what the next sale they can attend is, whether they're going to, you know, obviously can't get to New Zealand. They, you know, trepidation about where the borders might be for sales going forward. So I think people got in and really bought numbers here to seize that opportunity.
Oh, the show goes on today. Yeah, we've booked two selling starting at 2 p.m.
Yeah, that's right. We've got 311 booked two horses, which it's a great catalogue. It's a very consistent line of horses. There'll be a lot of value to be had, I would have thought. And then we go on tomorrow and also sell the Godolphin race horses tomorrow afternoon. So day and a half left of selling. And, we're looking forward to getting amongst it later today.
Barry, well done to you and the team at Magic Millions. Many congratulations on an enormous week of selling and racing.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jack.
Barry Bowditch there, Warren, the Managing Director of Magic Millions. They've got plenty of cause for celebration.
He's entitled to be looking for somewhere to lie down by the end of tomorrow sometime, isn't he, Joe, with still lots to go through and then the Godolphin sale. But, yes, you just you wish the people that have purchased these horses all the best. There's a lot of money being spent. Obviously, not all of them are going to get their money back on the track, probably a low percentage of them. But the dream's alive and some quality bloodstock. Gee, the Mara and Eustace team, they have bought up big. Maybe there is that little bit of trepidation about what the future might hold. And you're at a sale, you can purchase the horses and the quality of the bloodstock's there. So really, go your hardest while you can. 37 lots for the Mara and Eustace stable. That's a lot from effectively the first sale of the year, Joe.
Well, as Barry said, I don't think there's been a single trainer purchase that many horses at that sale in its history. So they're really putting themselves on the line, aren't they? Putting their money where their mouth is. And as we've seen, they can often turn around those horses for success. Interesting to see the activity of so many people this week on the Gold Coast having a serious go.
And instead of having Annabelle Neesham as part of the team, they're competing with her. So a number of those horses bought by Fung Investments and Phoenix Thoroughbreds will end up with Annabelle Neesham, and quite likely that without Annabelle being out training on her own, a number of those horses might have found their way to Kieran Maher's stable, so he would have even had more horses.
Yes, there's plenty backing Annabelle Neesham, who's been such a success story early in her training career, and she's actually become the primary trainer now for Tony Fung and Phoenix Thoroughbreds, who were the leading buyers at the Gold Coast, and helping to build that relationship. No doubt the success that she had yesterday in the Magic Millions two-year-old race with Queen of Wizardry coming into fourth position and taking out the Magic Millions women's racing bonus of over $300,000 for her group of owners, which also includes Tony Fung's wife, Loretta, who herself as an owner has had extraordinary success at the Magic Millions in the two-year-old feature with horses like Sunlight in years gone by, being successful on the day as well. Interesting, there was a story published this week in the Sydney newspapers highlighting just how many women are now getting involved in racing ownership, particularly through the Magic Millions and this bonus that's been a fantastic concept for the sport. So great results all round for the racing and breeding industry this week. So many positives for us to talk about this morning.
And great friend of many to racing, Lizzie Jelce, involved in the ownership of the Queen of Wizardry. Has anyone been trying to twist your arm, Joe, to get involved in something out of this sale and hopefully be competing for that that all-ladies ownership prize for being first past the post next year?
Yes, always an opportunity to get involved, isn't there? But I'm happy with my loss at the moment. Little Irwin, he runs this week, Warren, at Wagga in a maiden, having his second start. He's the hot favourite. He should be hard to beat. Now I've just tipped him on air. He'll be probably even shorter odds than what's on offer at the moment.
Looking forward to seeing him go round at Wagga, Joe, and looking forward to chatting next week when the Magic Millions will be definitely wrapped up with the closing of Book 2 and plenty more to talk about this time next week.
Thanks, Warren. Great to talk with you.